Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is all about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in all aspects of life, and we'll discover wisdom that's found in different cultures about this topic. These talks are based on the works of Gautam Ali Shah. He's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker and author for over 15 years based in Lahore, Pakistan. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss the importance of being an inspirational teacher and the key ingredients to become an inspirational teacher. And we'll look at some amazing stories of real teachers who have changed the lives of their students with their inspiration and care. We'll look at Anne Sullivan, the teacher of Helen Keller, and Blanche Cafier, who Bill Gates calls the teacher who changed my life. And I think in this episode, when we talk about teaching, it's not just about a teacher standing in a classroom talking to students. It could be any one of us. All of us have things that we teach to others. It could be to our kids, to our coworkers, to our family, friends. So I feel like this episode can really be of benefit to all of us. Teaching is something that is known amongst almost all cultures across the globe as one of the noblest professions. Confucius said, if your plan is for 1 year, plant rice. If your plan is for 10 years, plant trees. If your plan is for 100 years, educate children. It's a known fact that teachers have the power to mold lives and their influence can last a lifetime. But Gautam Ali Shah says that in today's age, there's a general lack of respect for teachers. It's either openly or silently, but it's something that should be inconceivable in this type of profession. Gautam Ali Shah says the answer can be explained objectively. If the teacher has added or contributed something positive to a student's life, if he's inspired them in any way, he will be respected. Because teaching isn't about labeling ourselves as a teacher, it's about the actions. So he says the teachers that are not being respected the way they should be are themselves responsible for it. So in other words, most teachers who don't get respect have failed to earn it because they're failing to inspire their students. Gautam Ali Shah says he once conducted a small study with the graduating class of kids from a university in Pakistan, and he asked the students how many teachers they had learned from during their undergraduate degrees. On average, it was about 15 or so teachers. And then he asked them, how many of your teachers will you miss once you're graduated? And how many you think played a big role in your life? And the dominant answer among the students was zero. It was obviously an anonymous survey, but zero. Wow. He says that when a student doesn't feel that a teacher has inspired him, that the teacher has played a role in his life beyond academics, he will never develop a genuine respect for that teacher. He says that these same students probably showed respect in the classroom, but didn't have it in their hearts. He shares a story of an incident from the life of one of the greatest Eastern philosophers and Pakistan's national poet, Allama Muhammad Iqbal, who once, when he happened to see his teacher coming down the road, named Molvi Mir Hassan, he ran towards him, not even realizing that he was only wearing one shoe at the time, but he kept running. And he ended up walking his teacher all the way to his house out of respect. And that was respect and love that was earned by his teacher. The great Irish poet and literary pillar William Butler Yeats said, education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire, meaning inspiring someone, motivating them, and making them want to learn and do more. Gautam Ali Shah's own respected guru, Wasif Ali Wasif, said, great teachers don't just impart knowledge. They make us thirsty for knowledge. They ignite that passion of learning in us. And the thirst is the beginning. The thirst drives the student. And he says that a student who's thirsty for knowledge is looking for a teacher who is like a sea of knowledge, quenching his thirst. The student who gets a teacher to inspire him to learn will spend his life in the pursuit of wisdom. And unfortunately, we just don't see a lot of people, a lot of teachers like this. A wise man once said, if a horse is thirsty, even 10 men can't stop him from drinking water. Conversely, if the horse isn't thirsty, even 10 men can't force him to drink water. So the student learns, no matter what the challenges, what the hardships are, when he is thirsty for knowledge, when he's inspired to learn. And it's the teacher that gives him this thirst, which in turn makes the teacher earn his respect and admiration. Qasim Alisha shares a story with us. He says there was a young boy who used to barely pass in school. Due to his sheer indifference and laziness towards his work, each year his family would have to nearly grovel to his teacher and principals to get him into the next grade. And this happened up until about middle school. Then that year he ended up passing only one class, and it was evident that he couldn't go on like this any longer. So the boy's father got him a tutor. The tutor was a man who wasn't necessarily the smartest man in the academic subjects, but he was a kind soul who cared for and who encouraged the boy wholeheartedly. He would spend each evening with the boy teaching him and, more importantly, making the boy feel confident in himself and motivating him to work hard. The boy felt a real connection with this teacher, and he started trusting him, and he was starting to believe in himself. And after months of his company, the boy took the school exams to pass the eighth grade, and he ended up doing so with flying colors. Of course, this was a shock to everyone, the parents, the teachers, and even the boy himself. But it was the tutor's kindness and inspiration that had lighted a fire for learning and working hard. And this boy's name was Qasim Alisha. It's his own story. And since that day, he says he's never failed another class, and he's never had to ask for any help from anyone to help him succeed. It's that one teacher who had such an impact on him that it changed his life forever. And he said he recently sent this teacher of his childhood tutor, a package of gifts and a letter telling him how he had changed his life. And how today he's trained over 200,000 people, including professors, judges, bureaucrats, doctors, and all because he had taught him to believe in himself and inspired him. Qasim Alisha says a simple criteria to measure how inspirational or effective a teacher is to see how many lives he has been able to transform. How much value has he added to the lives of his students? Qasim Alisha himself has been teaching for over 2 decades now. And again, he has experience teaching all kinds of students, businessmen, government officials, college students. He says that the formula that he has for being an inspirational teacher comes from all these years of his experience. The qualities he's chosen here are from what he's observed as a student, as a teacher, and a trainer. And the feedback that he's received from thousands of his students has also helped him to put this together. So he says, even if you disagree with any of the ingredients in this formula, he says you have to have an open mind because they're not just his opinions. These come from, again, 20 years of experience and observation, and also from his deep belief in God. So there are 8 main ingredients to his formula for being a truly inspirational teacher. The first 4 are about managing ourselves, and the last 4 are mainly how we deal with others. So let's get started. Number 1, the first ingredient to becoming an inspirational teacher is respecting yourself. As a teacher, we have to have self-respect both in our manners and in our professional conduct. This includes having a set of values for ourselves and sticking with them. Qasim Alisha doesn't talk about this in his lecture, but I have heard it before, that in countries like Pakistan, teachers are known to take bribes for giving kids good grades. And often the poverty in third world countries does make people desperate to do things to get a step ahead in any way. This goes for both the students and their families and for the teachers who are trying to get by. So it's necessary for teachers to maintain some dignity and self-respect in their attitudes and professionalism. Number 2 is being positive. Qasim Alisha says the teacher does not inspire so much with their knowledge as they do with their behavior, attitude, and character. And having a positive attitude is a key component for being an inspirational teacher. So for example, if a teacher is going through some difficulty in their life, they shouldn't let their students see this. So as a teacher, if we're on the job, it's our responsibility to be a strong figure and show positivity through any situation. He says he recalls his young son telling him, "Oh, our teacher today was really sad." And he asked him, "Well, how do you know?" And he said, "Well, she was looking at her phone and she started crying and then she put it away and then she looked at it again and then started smiling and then crying again." So displaying this type of weakness is detrimental to the student-teacher relationship. A student seeing his teacher as an emotional wreck is only going to make him think his teacher is weak, and thus they cannot be a role model for him. And in order to inspire, we have to be role models for our students. they should be able to look up to us with admiration and not consider us weak. And having a positive attitude shows strength. Dr. Deepak Chopra, probably one of the most successful alternative medicine figures in America, says, "It's always been a part of her doctor's kit bag to tell patients to keep their spirits up. Until a few decades ago, it was standard not to acquaint a dying person with the gravity of his condition," which implies an unspoken agreement that hearing bad news isn't good for patients. So regardless of the profession, staying positive, having a positive attitude, has a deep impact on people in general. The third ingredient to being an inspirational teacher is being trustworthy. Qasim Ali Shah recalls that almost 20 years ago, when he started his school, it's a secondary school, he made the students a deal. He said, "If you can get high grades on your final exams, I'll waive the tuition for that semester." And lo and behold, almost all the kids got great grades. So when it was time to adjust the fees, even under the scrutiny of his management staff and family, he knew he had to keep his promise, and he didn't go back on his word. There's actually a remarkable story in Islamic scripture about trustworthiness, and it's a beautiful story, and it's said to have happened to the children of Israel. So I'm guessing this is the time before Christ. There's a man who asked his acquaintance if he could borrow 1,000 dinars, and the acquaintance asked if he could guarantee it or if there would be a witness to the transaction. The man said, "I make God the guarantor and I make God the witness to this transaction. I will return your money in the set time." So they both agreed on the loan. The man took the money and sailed across the sea to do some work. And once he had completed the work, he waited for the ship to return to take him back across the sea so he could repay his debt. But the time was up for repaying the money. So he took a piece of wood and he put a hole in it. And in it, he put the money. And he said, "Oh my Lord, you know well that I took a loan of 1,000 dinars from so-and-so. And he demanded the surety from me, but I told him that you were sufficient and he accepted your guarantee. And he asked me for a witness, and I told him you were sufficient as a witness, and he accepted you as a witness. You know that I've tried hard to find transportation so that I could pay back his money, but could not find any. So now I hand over this money to you." Saying that, he threw the piece of wood far into the sea, and he walked away. Meanwhile, he kept looking for transportation to get back to the man and repay him. One day, while near the water, the lender was looking out to see if there's any ship arriving with his money. Instead, he saw the piece of wood floating nearby, and he took it home for firewood. When he reached home, he saw the money in the letter from the borrower. Shortly after this, the man reached his home and returned his money. He apologized for being late, explaining that he couldn't find any means to get back in time. But the lender told him he had already received the piece of wood with his letter and the money, and that the loan was already paid off. Now, this is the meaning of being trustworthy: doing our very best possible to keep our word. Qasim Ali Shah says that it's this type of trust in our character that will inspire our students beyond any material that we could possibly teach them. Number four, the fourth ingredient to becoming an inspirational teacher is about being a visionary. We need to be clear about what direction we want in life. What do we want to achieve and how? Because often students want advice and help from their teachers about their futures. And they'll only do so if we ourselves are guided by our own visions and goals. And seeing the passion that we have to achieve something will also encourage them to do the same. Number five is building self-esteem. With over 25 years of experience as a teacher and school and family counselor, Dorothy Briggs wrote a book called Your Child's Self-Esteem. In it, she writes, "Self-esteem is the mainspring that slates every child for success or failure as a human being. So a crucial job for every teacher is affirming and building self-esteem in each child. Of course, the same goes for each parent as well." Qasim Ali Shah says the best ways to build self-esteem are: number one, appreciating your students more, criticizing less. Number two, making them believe that you have high hopes for them. And number three, treating all students equally and not discriminating. Voltaire once said, "I have seen greatness hailing from slums." And none of us feels inspired by people who make us feel bad about our own selves. So it's the duty of a teacher to increase their students' self-esteem, to make them feel important and valuable, and to make them believe they can achieve whatever they put their minds to. Qasim Ali Shah says teachers have a choice, either to build their students up or break them down. They have the power to do both. Okay, number six, become a motivator. Gossam Alisha stresses that although these are different characteristics, these ingredients may overlap, but they should be understood individually to shed light on their importance. He says that one of the meanings of teacher should actually be motivator, because inspiration motivates us. When we inspire our students, it will motivate them to take action and inspire them to aim higher. And now I want to discuss a beautiful and remarkable story. In 1880, in Alabama, a beautiful, healthy little girl was born. Her name was Helen Keller. But when she was just 19 months old, she got very sick. It could have been scarlet fever or meningitis, but it left her both deaf and blind. In her toddler years, she learned to communicate through some signs with the then 6-year-old daughter of the family's cook, who would understand her signs. And by 7 years old, Keller knew more than 60 different signs to communicate with her family. But her family felt that the young deaf-blind girl was still very cut off from the world, and they sought to find her help. We've all heard of the term miracle worker, but did you know it was coined by the great author Mark Twain to describe one particular person? In fact, the term was almost synonymous with her for many years, and there are actually several movies about her by that name, the miracle worker. And her name is Anne Sullivan, the famous teacher of Helen Keller. Keller's father went out to the Perkins Institute of the Blind in Boston. The school's director asked former student Anne Sullivan to become Keller's teacher. Sullivan herself was only 20 years old when she was first hired to teach the deaf and blind 7-year-old Helen in 1887. Amazingly, Anne herself was blind for much of the first part of her life, but she had recovered part of her eyesight by the time she traveled to Alabama to begin her job as her teacher. Her own struggles gave Anne an insight into little Keller's closed-off world. She started teaching her from the day she met her. She had brought her a little doll as a gift. She put it in Keller's hand, and Sullivan spelled out the word doll, D-O-L-L, in the girl's other hand. Keller couldn't understand this and the association of objects with words, so she was initially frustrated by this teaching technique. But Sullivan persisted. Once she spelled out mug in Keller's hand, and the girl threw the mug and broke it. Sullivan's breakthrough with Keller came as she placed one of Keller's hands under cool running water, and on the other hand she spelled water. Something clicked. Sullivan had gotten through to her, and the fire had been lit. All the hard work Sullivan had put in had paid off. This had motivated Keller to seek out knowledge, to have a hunger to learn. And it said that the little girl nearly exhausted Sullivan, demanding the names of all the other familiar objects in her world. Soon Keller could express herself beyond the few signs that she knew that had been her sole means of communication up to that point. The little blind and deaf girl was able to be in touch with the world as never before. Sullivan encouraged Keller's family to send her to the Perkins School, and from that point on, she remained Keller's companion for 49 years, until her death in 1936. Helen Keller might have been delayed at picking up on language, but it didn't stop her from having a voice. With Sullivan's help and encouragement and inspiration, Keller became a successful author, publishing 12 books and many articles. She became a political activist, campaigning for women's suffrage, labor rights, socialism, and for people with disabilities, and giving lectures, traveling to over 40 countries speaking about the plight of the deaf community. Helen Keller also helped to found the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and she was close friends with many of the famous figures of the time, including Alexander Graham Bell, Charlie Chaplin, and Mark Twain, and meeting almost all the U.S. presidents during her lifetime. And all of this because she had the inspiration and motivation from her dedicated teacher, Anne Sullivan, the woman who we now know as the miracle worker. And truly, an inspirational teacher can bring about miracles for anybody. Okay, number seven, the seventh ingredient in becoming an inspirational teacher is being a leader. And really, it's about showing leadership qualities in and outside of the classroom or teaching. But when it pertains to learning, we need to lead by example. And the example a teacher should set is of devoting our entire life in the pursuit of learning wisdom. So if a teacher stops learning herself, how can she make her students stay passionate about learning? Nobel laureate Rabindranath Tagore, the great writer, teacher, painter, and musician who revolutionized Indian music and literature in the 20th century, said, "A teacher can never truly teach unless he is still learning himself. A lamp can't ever light another lamp unless it continues to burn its own flame." Okay, and the eighth and last ingredient is sparking the imagination, making our students dream. Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world. And here I'll share another incredible story of how an inspirational teacher changed the life of one of her students. And today he is the wealthiest man on the planet. Bill Gates wrote a blog last year, in 2016, entitled The Teacher Who Changed My Life, in which he paid tribute to Blanche Cafier, his teacher and librarian in elementary school. And here's an excerpt from that, because he beautifully describes this relationship and how it affected him. Bill Gates writes, "When I first met Miss Cafier, she was the elegant and engaging school librarian at Seattle's View Ridge Elementary, and I was a timid fourth grader. I was desperately trying to go unnoticed because I had some big deficits, like atrocious handwriting, experts now call it dysgraphia, and a comically messy desk. And I was trying to hide the fact that I liked to read, something that was cool for girls but not for boys. Miss Cafier took me under her wing and helped make it okay for me to be a messy, nerdy boy who was reading lots of books. She pulled me out of my shell by sharing her love of books. She started by asking questions like, what do you like to read and what are you interested in? And then she found me a lot of books, ones that were more complex and challenging than the Tom Swift Jr. science fiction books I was reading at the time. For example, she gave me great biographies she had read, and once I'd read them, she would make the time to discuss them with me. Did you like it? She would ask. Why? What did you learn? She genuinely listened to what I had to say. Through these book conversations in the library and in the classroom, we became good friends. Teachers generally don't want to burden their students with extra reading beyond the homework they're assigned. But I learned from Ms. Cafier that my teachers had so much more knowledge to share. I just needed to ask. Up through high school and beyond, I would often ask my teachers about the books they liked, read those books when I had some free time, and offer my thoughts. Looking back on it now, there's no question that my time with Ms. Cafier helped spark my interest in libraries, Melinda and my first large-scale effort in philanthropy, and my focus on helping every child in America get the benefit of great teachers. I often trace the beginning of our foundation to an article about children in poor countries dying from disease eliminated long ago in the U.S., but I should give some credit as well to the dedicated librarian teacher who helped me find my strengths when I was 9 years old. It's remarkable how much power one good person can have in shaping the life of a child. That was from Bill Gates' blog, Gates Notes, from August 2016. And as we all know today, Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft, the world's largest PC software company. Forbes has named him, as of February 2017, the wealthiest person in the world today, with an estimated net worth of $85.6 billion. And he's also one of the world's biggest philanthropists today. Him and his wife created the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And in 2013, it was named the world's wealthiest charitable foundation, with assets reportedly valuing at more than $34.6 billion. And the couple have committed to donating over 95% of their wealth to charity. So none of this would have been possible without that one teacher who made him dream, who created a spark in him to think bigger and to do more than he ever thought that he could. And all children deserve an inspirational teacher like Blanche Cafier or Anne Sullivan. All students need inspirational teachers like them. And we should all strive to be teachers like Blanche Cafier and Anne Sullivan. In conclusion, we discussed the importance of being inspirational as teachers to our students. We went over the 8 main ingredients to do this: respecting ourselves, being positive, being trustworthy, having a vision, building self-esteem, motivating, being a leader, and sparking the imagination and dreams of our students. American author William Arthur Ward said, "The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, and the great teacher inspires." Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please share it with others. And of course, please feel free to share your comments and questions with us. You can message us on our website, www.happinessnowpodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook. Until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.